views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program. And we now present an encore production of Generations Talk Radio, the very first episode from January the 3rd of this year.
This is KCNR 1460 AM, and you are listening to Generations Radio with Sharon Clark, where we embrace aging. Give us a call at 605-4567 with questions or comments, or you can join us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Well, welcome. This is my first show here on KCNR 1460, not my first radio show at all, but my first show here, and it's called Generations Radio. Many of you may have heard me with Trish Clark the first Thursday of the month co-hosting, and I'm so excited to bring my own kind of background and industry experience here to the radio and chat about things close to my heart. And the reason I named the show Generations Radio is because as we continue to age, and in my mind, embrace aging, we want to kind of chat about all the different topics, issues, concerns, pitfalls, solutions regarding aging and what affects different generations. Maybe you're a baby boomer. Maybe you're a retiree with your own aging parents. Maybe you're a child of a parent that has been diagnosed with something and you're looking for solutions to support them in the aging process. So this show is going to cover many, many topics like that. So thank you for tuning in. We will be here every Wednesday morning live at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. A little bit about me, for those of you who don't know. Again, I'm Sharon Clark. I'm owner of Home Helpers here in Reading. I started my company in 2004 in my dining room. I was 34 years old at the time, and having had a great relationship with my own grandparents and having seen them facing some challenges with aging, I decided Reading needed a company like Home Helpers. I understand that people do better aging at home. I wanted to bring that opportunity here to Reading and also employ some of the most amazing caregivers that feel called to do this kind of work and give back. What really got me thinking about Home Helpers was when I was in my late 20s, my grandfather, a retired agriculture gentleman and farmer, decided to trim a tree in his yard. He was going to have a tree trimmer come and do the tall branches, but decided the day before that he would get the low branches at age 76. And while he was up in the tree, he cut the limb the ladder was tied to, and down he came. My grandmother, watching from the kitchen window, of course panicked, called 911. This is down in Yuba City where I grew up. Paramedics arrive. Luckily, nothing is life-threatening. He hit himself on the head and broke his ankle. But my grandmother at that time had AFib and had some heart issues, so I went to stay with her while he was hospitalized. And I thought to myself in my, you know, late 20s, early 30s, wow, what would people do? We're so lucky that we have a family like this, that we're so close. I wasn't doing anything medical. I was driving her to the hospital. I was making sure she had a healthy meal. And that kind of dialed into my brain. I just appreciated that we had that in our family, and I just kind of set it aside. Luckily, he recovered, got back home with her, and they continued to live independently for many years after that. But this is kind of the precipice of what got me thinking about Home Helpers here in Reading, was I thought, you know, I love this idea. It's kind of what I did for Grandma. You know, you're hiring these amazing ladies. They're coming in, and men, by the way, and they're coming in to, you know, care for seniors, and not even always seniors. Sometimes we've had people recuperating from a surgery or injury, but helping them out through this rough patch and then either backing out, maybe continuing on a permanent basis. But at the end of my grandmother's life, about 3 years ago, Grandpa had passed away. She actually ended up coming here to Reading with me on hospice in my home. And it was my caregivers who were able to come in and help me care for her in her final days. So it really was that kind of circle of life, so to speak, of I was so inspired by my family and by the relationship with them to start this company. And at the end of the day, it was this company that allowed my grandmother to age in my home And at the end of the day also, I always say her final gift to me was me being able to be on the other side of it. And I'm so much better at what I do now, having had her in my home, watching people come into my space. I understand what that feels like. I understand what my role was. And I'm so proud of, you know, I always say anyone I hire better be good enough for my own family. And I ate those words. I live those words. And I have some of those amazing caregivers still with me. So that's kind of my story. That's kind of been my goal, is to reach families before the crisis, to educate with tips and resources available here in Shasta County. And many of you may not have parents here, but I still hope that you'll find value of the show, because many times the resources we have available are available in other communities. And some of the topics we're going to discuss are things that you're probably facing whether your parents are here or not. So thank you for joining me. Again, I'll be here every Wednesday at 9 a.m. I welcome your thoughts and questions. Call us at 605-4567. When we come back from this break, Julie Sessions, who's a supervisor with Shasta County Adult Protective Services, will be joining me, and we're going to be discussing Adult Protective Services, what their goals are, what as a community we can do to keep our seniors safe, which I think is a great inaugural show, as at the end of the day, keeping seniors safe and independent is all of our goal and is also APS's goal. So we will be back right after this, right here on KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed, but after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belangi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
We continue now with an encore presentation of the very first Generations Talk Radio. This episode was broadcast on January the 3rd of this year.
And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part. You have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Welcome back to Generations Radio with Sharon Clark, live in the studios here at KCNR 1460 AM. Thank you for joining us. I will be hosting this show every Wednesday at 9 a.m. live. If you want to give us a call, and we'll happy to answer any questions or hear your comments at 605-4567. Joining me in the studio now is Julie Sessions, a supervisor with Adult Protective Services here in Shasta County. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Thank you for being my first guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am too. So, Adult Protective Services, tell me how you got involved. What's your background and how did you find your way here to this position?
Fate. actually, my background was I had a variety of jobs, but I was a CNA for a while, and that's how I got through college.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I got done with school and I graduated from Simpson, I worked for Victor Treatment Centers, and then I worked at Crestwood Behavioral Health, and then I kept applying for the county and kept applying, and I was like, you're going to hire me one
day. That's right.
And,
persistent.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I started with Adult Protective Services as a service aide, and in next month, it will be 13 years.
Oh, my gosh. So you've probably seen a lot of changes going on.
Yes.
Positively?
I believe so,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the program itself has definitely evolved. When I started, it was just me. A service aide and three social workers.
Oh, wow.
Currently, I have two service aides and six social workers.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
So it's
definitely expanded, you know.
And so your background, you were kind of called to serve people.
Yes.
Just in your prior employment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always done that.
Because, you know, I really see, like, the people that I meet through this industry, you know, we have a heart for it. And the people that don't have a heart for it don't last, because it's rewarding and heartbreaking all at the same time. And I can think of the most amazing client scenarios I've helped with, and tragic ones too. And I'm sure you can too. It's just, you've got to be able to the wins have to mean enough to put up with the losses.
And the wins, mm-hmm. for me, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just as a CNA, when I was working with, you know, the elders and stuff, it's like, I love just sitting and talking to them, you
mm-hmm.
know. I mean, it was just, there's so much there that you can't get anywhere else, and I've just always kind of been drawn back to the seniors. So.
Yeah, and now you're protecting them.
And now I am.
Yeah, and empowering them, too.
Definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
And I think, you know, that's one of the things, and we're going to talk more about this as the show progresses, but the misconceptions about APS, you know, because I think people oftentimes don't understand the full realm of what you guys do, but mm-hmm. also what you can't do.
Yes.
And so we'll also be chatting about that. What is, like, dialing it down a little bit, like, what are the main goals of APS? Like, do you guys have a mission statement? Like, what is your, like, in a couple sentences?
What we try and do is we try and get people connected to services. You know, we want people to stay in their homes safely for as long as possible. And that's one of the misconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people hear Adult Protective Services and they're like, oh my gosh, they're going to rip me out of my home. Well, no, we can't do that. We don't have that authority, nor do we want to. So, you know, when we get calls, we go in and we try and connect them to the resources that are needed to keep them in their home
mm-hmm.
and keep them safe, you know, because nobody wants to leave
right.
their home. So we don't want you to leave your home. So,
right.
you know, that's kind of one of those misconceptions that I always try and, like, get people to
understand. Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, when you think of CPS,
mm-hmm.
they're most of the time removing the children because the abuse is happening in the home, and they're trying to get the kids to safety. Where APS, if the senior is in their home, can we get the people out that are causing the abuse? Can we protect that senior somehow? Can we give them the resources to stay there safely? Maybe it's self-neglect. But, yeah, your first line of defense isn't removing them. Where oftentimes with children, it is that way. So I think that's part of it, too, is like we think of, like, I mean, I've had people, it's like a threat, APS. Instead of, like, a resource-driven company or, you know, agency.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know, adults have that right. You know, adults, they have rights. They can choose to live how they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, after age 18, you become a legal adult. So there's, you have rights, and that goes along with being an adult.
Right.
And we don't.
And you guys serve not just the seniors, but dependent adults.
Yes.
So it's anyone over 18 who...
18 to 64, mm-hmm. Who requires, you know, people assisting them with the activities of daily living. So, and that can be due to, you know, mental illness, physical illness, you know, developmentally delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Any of those. So what, so because we're kind of more like on the senior side of it, what kinds of abuse are we looking for as a community? Because I think people also, we always think of people hurting us, people like bruises, but there's a lot of different ways a senior can be abused that we can all be looking out for. So I want to chat about kind of what are those types of abuse and what can we be looking for as a community to help protect our senior.
Well, the different types of abuse that are addressed by APS are financial abuse, neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse, over and under medication, isolation, abandonment, and sexual abuse.
See, now, I wouldn't have even thought about the medication.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess if you don't want to be dealing with your loved one aging, you could easily overdose people so that they're kind of out of it.
Mm-hmm. Or not giving them their medication.
Right.
You know, not giving them their pain pills.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I wouldn't even think of that, but that's, yes. And so as a community, some of those we would be able to see, you know, if we're, you know, a bank teller or out in the community, we might see somebody with bruises all over them or someone grab a senior by the arm. But some of it happens behind closed doors.
A lot of it happens mm-hmm. behind closed doors. That's why, you know, elder abuse is one of the most underreported abuses that there are. You know, for I think the statistics are like for every one report, there's 10 to 15 that are not reported.
Wow.
So one of the statistics that I was reading was like there was 5 million reports for the country. But that's only a fraction of what's really going on.
Wow.
And so it's a very underreported mm-hmm. thing.
I think, too, like I've been in a couple homes where like there's a grandchild there and they're so rude to the, you know, their grandparent in front of my staff and even in front of me, profanity, oh, grandma. And I actually went to one of the adult daughters and I said, you know, that's considered elder abuse. The way that you're this granddaughter was like in her late 20s. I said, that's considered elder abuse. She cannot be speaking to her grandmother that way and insulting her and berating her for her dementia and not remembering things or you know, repeating herself. And the daughter kind of looks at me and goes, you're totally right. Like some people, I don't, especially like I mean, my kids would never speak to their grandparent that way.
No.
But, you know, people don't realize like we are mandated reporters, the people that work for me and myself. So even how you speak to somebody, even if that's how you spoke to your parent your entire life, if it was dysfunctional and they're now a senior and we're in there and we hear it, we're going to report it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that people always realize that degrading conversation is not going to happen.
Yeah. Verbal and emotional abuse, I believe, is just as bad as physical abuse,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I hear those things. And I'm like, my grandma would kill me.
Well, yeah, we were never allowed to talk like
no,
that.
Ever,
we were never allowed to talk
ever.
Like that. But, you know, and you and I know this, and you know, I don't have a degree in social work. I feel like I have on-the-job training after 14 years.
You have
but,
a doctorate.
Yeah. When you come in when someone's older like this, when we're introduced to the scenario with the senior, you know, you're dealing with 40 years of history
mm-hmm.
of family dynamics, of dysfunction, mm-hmm. of a lot of things. And we're trying to navigate all of that to care for this person and making sure, you know, I always say, if you want to know the true colors of a family, wait till someone gets old and sick. And all the issues in that family come up, the kids that didn't get treated the same as the other kid, all of a sudden it's like they start to realize they may never have their day. They may never have resolution to that. Mom's now getting older. Mom's terminally ill, and all of those fears, because as kids, we all want that approval, and all of a sudden, yeah. now we're realizing we're never going to get it, and it comes out in ways like, I want the car, or the TV, or, but it's really pain,
yeah.
you know, a lot of, and there's probably some valid issues that some of these adult children have. I've heard of the stories of, you know, horrible parents that turn into an amazing older person that we care for. We don't know that history, what happened, how, but at the same time, we have to come in and work those dynamics out and be like, okay, well, you have every right to feel this way. Now your dad is, you know, 89. You can't talk to him that way.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like trying to navigate all of those personalities. It's pretty interesting.
That was one of my biggest aha moments was, you know, realizing that because I'm like you, I have a very big family and family is everything to us, you know. So we take care of our own, you know, grandmas and aunts mm-hmm. and, you know, that's what we do. And so that was my aha moment, like when I first became a social worker, was realizing that not everybody has that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it took me a couple seconds to process that. And it's like, okay, well then let's at least try and get them some support,
right?
You know, and hospice, they have some amazing social workers, you know, I mean, hospice does a wonderful thing. You know, they have those social workers that can get in there and help that family,
right.
You know.
Processing all of
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I love hospice.
Yeah, I do too. And I have there's a lot of families we've worked with that, again, I relate to the kids, the adult kids, that their upbringing, because you hear all these stories. I'm not the judge and jury, though. I'm here mm-hmm. to protect the senior and help them navigate and process whatever it is they're going through and call in the resources if necessary. Home health agencies have social workers too and hospice as well, and they are amazing. And they're dealing with all that end of life stuff, like all these emotions that start coming up for the kids.
Yeah.
And sometimes the parent may be not able to respond. And how are they going to grieve this? And how are they going to process this so they can move on and be healthy afterward?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know it's a complicated
it is.
Career that we picked. I
it
don't know.
Is, right? And we didn't do it for the money either.
No, definitely not.
But, you know, in the end, the rewards they outweigh everything. So.
I know when you were on with Trish and I a few months ago. What was the gentleman's name that was on with us? The police officer,
Detective Boone.
Yeah, Detective Boone. And my agency had just come in contact with two sisters who had been they were prosecuting a former caregiver for financial abuse of a theft of about $40,000, and we got called in, and we're still with them. And they love the caregiver, but I'll tell you, you know, it was one of those you come in crisis mode, which I never like, but I'm happy to rescue you out of it. But one of the sisters was so beat down and so just ashamed that mm-hmm. she hadn't seen this coming. She had some vision issues. She signed some checks without looking and just beating herself up over it. And just to see her niece said she'd lost like 20 pounds, you know, just to see someone so soon after that much abuse financially, to just see her so sad and depressed and suffering was just heartbreaking, because you want to protect people from that and you don't want to ever see someone go through that. But now on the other side of that, we've been in there, you know, 3 or 4 months. We go 3 times a week. They love the caregiver. The niece can sit up. She doesn't live locally. She can just come when she wants, and she doesn't have to worry about him anymore. The aunts gain some weight back. And so at the end of the day, you know, you kind of come into these situations oftentimes when there is a crisis, but to see and assist people through it again, that's what you go home and sleep to
mm-hmm.
that memory of yeah. like the people that you helped.
Yeah. And actually in the people who are abused actually are twice more likely to be hospitalized and 4 times more likely to go into nursing homes because of not only just the, whether it's physical or whatever, but it's the emotional trauma,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, you trust your family to take care of things and then they turn around and do that. I mean, it's like one of the most ultimate betrayals.
Right. And of course you feel that way. You end up, you know, maybe not taking meds the way you should or mm-hmm. not eating right. And losing the weight, and you're elderly, and that weight loss can cause other medical problems. I've never heard that statistic, but I can see how that would happen, especially seeing this lady. You know, oftentimes when we get hired first, obviously we're bonded and insured and that stuff. We don't have that happen. But, you know, this family tried to hire someone, they kind of a friend of a friend of a friend, who didn't have a lot of, you know, ethics.
Yeah.
And it did the isolation, you know, which is part of the abuse that we're talking about, is isolating people. She had them skip their doctor's appointments. People would try to come over. She would stand at the door and say that they weren't feeling like company. So, but the family didn't see all of this happening. Nobody was local. But like looking back, they saw all of this behavior of isolating people and keeping them from going to the doctor and being able to say, hey, we haven't been out to the grocery store, or why did you cancel our last three appointments, when the doctor really wasn't canceling them. This lady wanted to have power over them.
And that's why I encourage everybody, you know, if your family is not, if you're not around your family vicinity-wise, you know, still maintain that daily contact. You know, my mother's alive and thriving in that, but she lives in Mount Shasta. But I'm almost talking to my mom every day, and it's not like, you know, that's an issue, because they need to be more scared of her than but it's just kind of like, you know, keep in contact with your family, you know, whether even if it's just a phone call, because isolation is huge. And I want to say that is one of the biggest causes of abuse, because it's whether it's the caregiver isolating them or them isolating themselves.
And then you have maybe if you're not checking in with them, they get lonely. The neighbor who's not super bright or responsible is being let in, and they're getting loaned money because they will pay attention to this aging loved one, this aging neighbor. And I mean, even on the phone, I've been there where the telemarketers are calling, "Oh, hi, Ruby. How was your weekend with your grandchildren?" This is how well these telemarketers know some of these folks. So guess what? When they want a donation, Ruby, they're on a first name basis, and he calls her every couple days and checks in on her, and they're just building these relationships and building these rapport when family isn't. So it's absolutely true.
And the next thing you know, she's going down to wherever and getting those green dot cards, and money's getting shipped out.
Sending them off. Absolutely. Well, we are going to take a little break, and we want to continue talking with Julie. We're going to chat more about what steps you can take if you have concerns about somebody, and what APS cannot do. And kind of, I want to talk about how it works, like from when you guys get the call, kind of what are the steps that you take? Because lots of times we don't hear the end result of that. So we'll be back with more Generations Radio right after this message here on KCNR 1460.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spankin' new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
You are listening to an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Generations Talk Radio, this episode all the way back from January the 3rd of this year.
Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Sometimes it feels
welcome back to Generations Radio right here on KCNR 1460 AM. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, where we are embracing aging. Joining me in the studio today is Julie Sessions, a supervisor with Adult Protective Services here in Shasta County. If you have a question for Julie, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567. So, Julie, one of the things I wanted to chat about is if you, first of all, how would people report if they have a concern that someone's being either, a senior's being abused either financially, physically, and if they suspect it, they should report it.
Correct.
So don't feel like it, because I've had this happen too in my world. If you feel like, oh my gosh, but I just don't know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, you guys will do your due diligence. If nothing's going on, the file gets closed, blah, blah, blah. So if like there's a neighbor and she suspects something's going on with one of her neighbors, what steps would she take? And then what do you guys do with that report?
Our main line is, the phone number is 225-5798, and they would call in and make the report. So we have social workers answering the phone, and we are actually mandated by law to have a 24/7 operating system.
Okay.
But, you know, for the general public, you know, the daytime hours are just fine. I mean, if it's a health and safety emergency, we are not first responders, so they need to be calling
911
because we're not first responders. So and health and welfare checks, you know, that needs to be through law enforcement too. But anyway, they call the main line and we take the report and then we go out and we investigate the allegations. And then after we get done, we do our, while we're doing the investigation, we're also doing a psychosocial evaluation and, you know, just trying to get the big picture of things. And then we go from there, and whether if services are wanted or needed or not wanted or not needed, you know, then it all depends on kind of what happens within the investigation.
So when you guys are going out to that first visit, you have a police officer with you, right? Is it a social worker and a police officer to that
no.
first time? It's just a social worker?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So it depends on the case.
Okay.
There are times where, yes, we do bring police officers with us because of the nature of the report.
Okay.
Or there could be history at that address or a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, safety is our number one concern. So
you don't know what you're walking into.
No,
really.
And we, we never do. So there are, you know, some cases we can just go in there and say hi and it's not an issue. In other cases, we have backup. So just for our protection.
And they can actually refuse to let you in.
Yes.
They can say, we're not interested. We don't want to talk to you. And you have to respect that.
Yes.
And I think that's where there's some misconceptions about APS because people go, well, I called APS and they didn't do anything. Well, you know, do we as, you know, citizens really want an agency that can come in and take us out of the home or force services on us? Not really. We want our seniors to have rights. And so they can say, thank you for coming by. I'll keep your card, but you're not. They may not even let you in or even talk to you.
Oh, definitely.
And does that happen?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll like open up the screen door and it's like, I'm not talking to you and have a nice day. And I always try and like give them the card at least, you know, to say, hey, if you ever do want services, give us a call. You know, and even if they don't want to participate, what we try to do is at least leave resources for people. You know, because there's a lot of resources out there that people are not aware of. So even if it's you don't want to accept help, well, here's a list of resources for you.
I've actually had a couple family members, you know, let's say we're working with a client for just a couple hours a week or something, the neighbors are calling the kids. The neighbors are saying she needs more help. She needs more help. And the mom won't take it. And the kids are calling me. I don't know what to do. And I've actually encouraged them to call you sometimes, the adult kids, and say, can you go do an assessment? So we know, because they're not local. The neighbors are calling. And sometimes they'll get the feedback of, hey, they're fine. The neighbors are nervous, but you've got some help in there. And it really helps the kids feel like, because, you know, they're like, I'm at my wit's end. And then they can say to the neighbors, hey, we had APS out. They gave us some resources. We're working with them now. And that I've actually had your agency partner with some of these adult children out of town because they're like, we are there and she seems fine. Then the neighbors are calling. And sometimes you get neighbors that are overly concerned. And, you know, yes, I mean, I can't tell you, and you probably have this too, how many clients I have that are one fall away from a major issue.
Oh, totally.
One fall away. I mean, they are so in the gray area. I mean, it's not even funny. But they're fine right now.
Mm-hmm. But, and it's their choice.
It is.
And they have that ability to mm-hmm. make that choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, but that fall will happen. But they are still making those choices, mm-hmm. and they have a right to make mm-hmm. that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard for some people to accept.
Right.
That, you know, it's she could use more help, but guess what? She doesn't want it.
And she's decided in her cognitive mind that, yes, I may fall here and I may be alone and I'm willing to risk it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I had to really – this was something for me to overcome in this business. I had a gentleman who had diabetes and he would eat all the candy and we'd show up and his blood sugar would be – and his son goes, you know, that's my dad. And one day you may show up and you may find him unconscious. But you know what? That's his life. I'm not going to try to change it. I'm not going to spend his last years fighting with him when he's completely, you know, in charge of his own affairs. And it was for a few years, and the caregivers would call me in panic. We'd find all of the
candy wrappers.
And he wouldn't be feeling well and this and that. But, you know, and it was like 2.5 years in, and one day we found him. And he'd mm-hmm. fallen, and he broke his hip, and, you know, is the blood sugar low issue or high issue or whatever. And so, and then he got moved. But he had a great 2.5 years living mm-hmm. his life the way he wanted. And,
exactly.
you know, we all knew that day may come, and we communicated everything we could to the family. And I've had people like, mom wants to check her mail every day, and it's a rocky path to the mailbox. And she's got her walker, and it's like, we know she goes out there every day, and we're just thinking, oh, one of these days. And the daughter's like, I know it, but I'm not taking that away from her.
No.
You know, and so I think, you know, it's living in those, you know, managing that with letting people have that ability. And I think sometimes the neighbors see this going on and they get really panicky because they mm-hmm. want to, you know, you can't put them in a bubble though. You know, people have got to be able to live their life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember my grandma because towards the end, you know, she didn't want to take the medication. She wanted to eat whatever she wanted. And, you know, my mom got her own self kind of work and I just let her be.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma, let her be. She wants to eat all the cakes and cookies she wants. And that's the only thing she eats.
She's lived this long, you know.
Exactly. Kind of she's 85. Let the woman eat what she wants for the last couple of years. I don't, you know, it just.
I know. I definitely have had the adult kids come in, you know, and like, she needs to have fruit and not so much coffee. And I'm like, this poor woman, this is her, you know, she's been living her whole life doing these habits and doing just fine.
Well, and another thing that people don't realize is when you age, your taste buds die. So you don't have the taste that you did when you were younger. And the funny thing is your sweet taste buds are the last ones to go. So that's why a lot of the elders
that
like the
that makes a lot
sweet.
Of sense. And then here we were, people are trying to deny them their cinnamon roll in the morning.
Yeah, and it's the only thing they can taste now, you know? So
I've never heard that. Well, I'm going to remember that one. I'm going to bring that up with families. Like, you know, come on. Let her have her vice if she wants her cinnamon roll. So what do you think are some of the misconceptions about APS? What do you hear out there that you're like, that's not what we do? I think people a lot of times just try to drop a bomb on you guys and think you're going to solve it. Kind of like the Good News Rescue Mission with homelessness. Well, we have a mission. You know, it's not their job to fix homelessness in Shasta County, and it's not APS's job to fix elder abuse in Shasta County. You're a resource, but you can't fix it.
No, I wish we could,
mm-hmm.
but we can't. What we can do is go in and try and stabilize the situation. You know, APS has been called the guerrilla social workers, you know, because we go in, put out the fires, and go on to the next mm-hmm. one. And so a lot of the misconceptions is that what I like to tell people is that we cannot remove people from their homes. We do not take over their finances. We do not take over them like in a legal way, like mm-hmm. guardianship or conservatorship. We don't do that. That's what public guardian is for, mm-hmm. if that's what's needed. If you know, but even then, public guardian is the last resort. So I really try and encourage people, you know, take care of your family. And I also encourage people to, you know, get the power of attorneys and everything set up in place while you can in your sound mind to where when the time comes that you're not able to, that system's already set into place.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. So that Super that is important. Actually the one thing that I do, my soapbox is power of attorney, you know, because you can sign a power of attorney and 20 years later, when all is said and done, you know, that, and you're not able to make those choices, you can
rely on this individual yeah. that you've trusted to assist you in that time.
Exactly.
And again, like to echo that a little bit, even with my agency, with home care, if people know who I am and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to use home helpers if I ever need it. Well, if you have nothing in place, the kids are in my office in tears. They don't know what you wanted. They don't have any power to do it. And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you have money because they don't have access to it and they can't hire an agency to get you out of rehab and get you back home after the stroke. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of steps that have to happen for that independence to occur yeah. as you age, you know, to have those resources available and to be able, and for your kids to access them.
Yeah. If, I mean, my daughter just turned 18 and I told her, as soon as you turn 18, we're doing a power of attorney and you're signing it. I'm not talking about coercion.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's like, you know, we are not promised a tomorrow. We are not promised anything, you know. I mean, we could walk out of the studio and get hit by a bus, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's just not for elders. It's for everybody, you
right,
know.
Right, to have your affairs in order.
Yeah.
Basically, have your affairs
in order.
And
it's a hard conversation for a lot of people to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an uncomfortable conversation for some. And it's kind of one of those necessary conversations that
yeah, I've heard of it called the 40-70 rule. When you turn 40 or your parents turn 70, to kind of start the dialogue. And mm-hmm. I think it's going to get easier with the baby boomers, but the generation right now we have in their 80s and 90s are a very traditional generation, so it's like that's private information.
Very private.
That's none of your business. They don't want to talk about money. However, it will be the adult children having to deal with whatever comes down the pike. Mm-hmm. So when I do speaking to that age group, that traditional older age group, I'll say, you know, you do not want to burden your children, and they will be in my office. They will be in my office crying and dealing with the fact you had a stroke, and on top of it, dealing with the fact that they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take that off the table. Let's have them know what to do, know what your wishes are, have everything set up so that they're just following the roadmap.
Yeah.
Then they can grieve whatever medical issue happened, but recover from that and go on and go, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. They said they want home care. Your brochure was in their packet at home. They have an attorney who helped me figure out where their money was and what I could do with it and all of this stuff. And then the kids are able to follow those wishes. There's nothing worse than second guessing.
Exactly.
Every single thing you're doing.
Exactly. And especially if you're at end of life choices.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a conversation. It's like, hey, we need. Do you want to be on a vent? I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, that those are huge choices.
And they will fracture a family. They will fracture for these seniors that have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not have this fracture what's left of your family as you're passing away, mm-hmm. that this kid says mom wanted this and this kid says mom wanted that. And
family meetings are a beautiful thing.
Yes. Yeah. Here's what we're doing, kids. Yeah.
Over Christmas dinner.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to talk.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to take a break and come back with our final segment with Julie Sessions from Adult Protective Services. So stay tuned for Generations Radio right here on KCNR 1460.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff
for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
You are listening to a playback of the very first Generations Talk Radio from January the 3rd, 2018.
Welcome back to Generations Radio with your host, Sharon Clark, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. Our guest this morning is Julie Sessions with Shasta County APS. One of the things I wanted to mention, Julie, before we get on to your final thoughts for the show is... One of the misconceptions that I know is when you guys get a report and you go in and you offer the services and it stabilizes, you're then out. There's yes. not an ongoing
we are not
where
long-term
you continue.
Case managers.
Correct. And so I think people think that, you know, so if you're listening and you call APS on a neighbor and a year later they see something new, they need to call again.
Correct.
Because that file has been closed, you offered the resources or they declined whatever, because people that do the reports, they won't ever know. That senior is protected, so that they will never know the outcome.
No, they won't. And then right. that's another thing that people need to be aware of. We can't release that information, that case information. So we can't even tell the reporting party what happened, mm-hmm. you know, unless the client gives us permission to talk to certain people. We cannot
share that information.
Share, yeah, mm-hmm. it's a confidentiality
yeah.
issue. So.
So if people do call and then a year later something else is changing because, ongoing case management. And I have to say, you know, before in the last few years, you and I have developed a closer relationship and you actually trained my staff as well. But I didn't realize that either, you know, and obviously I need to know that too with my staff is if we see something and we report it and a year later something else is going on, we can't assume that you guys know about it. You wouldn't know about it.
No.
If things have settled down, either you've provided the resources and they took them and didn't use them or whatever, or they refused to let you in, whatever happened, that case is not going to be out there for a year.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's important for people to know. So what are your final thoughts? What do you want people listening to know? I know one of the things you said during the break was how important it is to be aware and be paying attention.
Yeah, because I believe that, you know, we're all responsible for protecting our elders, and we benefit as a society while we're doing it. It's just, you know, it's just not the elders that suffer. It's society that suffers as well. And so that's why, like I said earlier, I encourage people to be involved. And even if it's not your mom or your grandma or your great aunt or whatever, go say hi to your neighbor. You know, I mean, it's just society is a structure, and we need to build that support system around our elders. You know, there's a lot of good resources out there to help support people. You know, Connected Living is one of them. They've got some amazing programs that not a lot of people are aware of. So I just want people to be aware. And, you know, and like you said earlier, they don't have to know exactly what's going on. But if your gut's telling you something, you know, I'm a firm believer in intuition. And,
right.
And, you know, and people have called us from the middle of a grocery store. And they said, this is what we saw. And all we had was a license plate, and we found the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to know everything. If it's just something's not right, then if you feel that something's not right, then just call us.
Yeah, and like in your neighborhood, if you have, you know, Mr. Smith on the corner who's always out working in his yard and taking his trash out to the curb, and all of a sudden you don't see him anymore and his trash isn't out,
mm-hmm.
go knock on the door.
Yeah.
Is everything okay? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe he had a medical issue and is in the hospital. You know, who knows? But I think it's hard in neighborhoods now because we kind of come in, open our garage door, park our car, shut our garage door, and sit more in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be we were out in the front paying attention a lot in neighborhoods. And now we're really, but you know, paying attention. If you're on the front lines of in the financial world, in banking or something like that I know they do a lot of training with bank tellers now and things like that for weird transactions and things that are out of the ordinary. But even in a doctor's office, receptionists that see the caregiver bring in the person, how they're talking to them, you know, there's people that are on the front lines of whether even in a supermarket
exactly.
checkout stand, you know, how are they being talked to? You know, how is that transaction being processed? And you're right, I think with children, they have to go to school generally. So there's teachers, everyone's seeing them all the time. But with seniors, they're more held back a little bit from being out there. Yeah. So.
And so it. I just lost my train of thought.
No, that's okay. So again, if you have concerns about a senior in your world, someone that you come in contact with, you can call APS. They have a great website, too, that has a lot of tips on it, things to look for, and goes over a lot of what you guys do. As well.
Yes, and I'm always available to do presentations out in the community. I go out and do presentations, and I can, you know, just do general APS presentations. I also do mandated reporter training, so like I did with your company.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm more than willing to go out, whether it's to whatever business, mm-hmm. mean, I am available. You know, I live here. I am born and raised in the North State, and I firmly believe in, you know, wanting to keep the North State a good place for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the elders are important.
And at the end of the day, preventing is what we want to be doing.
Yes.
Because, you know, as with my couple, the sisters I mentioned earlier, it doesn't matter if you prosecute a caregiver that sold $40,000. They're not getting the $40,000 back.
No.
And so, and or their health. If it's a physical abuse, so if the more eyes and ears we have out there, and the more education that we provide, let's make these folks quit doing this kind of abuse in Shasta County. You know, we need to become a community that has no tolerance.
And another thing that people can do is, you know, they can call the legislators. You know, I mean, Adult Protective Services, we nationwide, there's a $5 million budget for Adult Protective Services, which is a pin drop considering what's out there for the rest of the domestic violence and child abuse prevention. And actually, child abuse, from what I was at a training, and they were talking about how child abuse and domestic violence, you know, is declining. But it's because it's the awareness,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so in 1993, yeah, there was $5 million appropriated for elder abuse prevention, and in 2017, there's still $5 million.
Oh, my gosh. They've never raised it.
They never raised
it. With the amount of people that are aging.
And the cases have gone up over 60% throughout the years. So, you know, I believe that we as a people should be speaking up.
this because needs to be prioritized.
Because the silver tsunami is coming.
Right.
And, you know.
And we're going to break away at that point. You were listening to an encore performance of Generations Talk Radio from January 3rd of this year. You are listening to KCNR Chest Ready News, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew 21.